The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, your champions. As always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. Hello, Ben.
What the hell is that? Where's my intro?
No, see,
you keep this up all year.
No, you had to keep the people guessing, Ben.
Well, if you kept me guessing, I don't like it.
Keep the people guessing. I mean, if you want me to rattle off a random obscure tag team, that's no problem.
I would enjoy that, yeah.
Does Steve Blackman to my alts now?
What does everybody want?
So that's your... Oh, well, that's a good start anyway.
Everybody wants a win, and that's exactly what we had. Tell us about Friday night. How good does it feel to be back?
It was fantastic. Great result, great performance. Just great all around.
It was great to see those familiar faces. Like, it's just... I know people say the off season isn't that long and you're straight back into the swing of things, but it was just nice to see familiar faces in Tolka, just even walking past you, quick nod, bit of acknowledgement. Packed out, so it was good. It was really enjoyable.
Do you know what I miss about Tolka, Ben? And I don't realise how much I miss it until I'm back in Tolka. Do you know what it is?
Go on, enlighten me.
People moaning. I came in, got to Tolka quite early on Friday, and I don't think I got as far as the club shop, and I could hear moaning. It's like that warm hug.
Ambiance. Like
it's just anything and everything. If somebody can moan about it, it's going to be moaned about, and it's comforting. It really is for me.
Yeah, no, I get that. I feel like there's two things with Tolka when you walk in. If neither of those things happen, you're not in Tolka, and that's people arguing.
Yeah.
And number two is getting a bit of stick as soon as you get there.
Yeah, mostly the stick is at the hands of the Watsons.
And here, they're the best at it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I did actually get stick off the Watsons, which is a bit worrying. But they can't now. They can't give me any stick because it's obviously some kind of charm, some kind of good luck charm.
Oh, yeah, good excuse.
Yeah, now they had no problem dishing it out to others who will remain nameless, but a grown man, Ben, where do you get a lot of this? A grown man wearing his younger brother's runners because he hadn't got his own. Can you believe that?
You've ruined the Richie Rankins.
We're not allowed to give Richie Rankins to each other anymore, I thought.
I don't care.
Right, we'll get there. All in good time. All in good time.
That was just because Reggie filed 6 complaints for being Reggie Winter every week.
Well, that's Reggie's own fault for going missing for the duration of the off-season. Yeah, then he drops the bombshell that he's going to bleed in Asia or something in September, October.
I believe was that a heavy point in the season.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's ridiculous, really. But look, we're rabbiting on here about nonsense. Then,
as we usually do,
the Reds, the 2025 President's Cup winners. The cynics will say it's just a friendly. The more ambitious will say it's the first piece of silverware. Back in Talca, it was a good performance and a good night all around, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think you can call that a friendly. Just
no, I'd like to like nail that now. It's definitely not friendly.
It's not friendly. It's absolutely ridiculous to even call it that. It's a competitive fixture, a trophy up for grabs. And I think that's one thing we treated as. We treated that very much as a professional fixture. And that came straight from the performance. That's probably the best I've seen us play in, I don't want to say a long time, because, again, it is our first competitive fixture. But that was a very, very, very positive start.
Yeah, and look, we'll try not to get ahead of ourselves, but like we'll be positive when there's plenty of stuff to be positive about. I thought just we looked more controlled. Yeah. Oh, that's like, weird.
Yeah, that's very weird. You finished my sandwiches or sentences or whatever. But I would absolutely agree. I think it was a completely controlled performance. I think a lot of our past fixtures, especially against that Drogheda side, they really do an amazing job at bringing you down to their level sometimes. And that's not to knock their footballing ability. I just think they can just drag you down and like get you to play their game. But I think just in terms of how we moved the ball, it was quick. The transitions were good. It was very intelligent. I think that the lads up top, Meepo Boydie, absolute handfuls.
I love the idea of us hitting Meepo with a long ball, because usually it's always Boydie and teams will kind of try and crowd him out. But I mean, what are you going to do when the two of them are up there?
Yeah.
Meepo from the very start.
He was lying.
His yellow was ridiculous. That's what I would say.
Here.
Let the referee bashing start early this year.
I'm not one for a referee bashing. Stick it on a t-shirt.
Ben, can I just shock you?
Yes.
That ref was shy.
He was terrible.
Yeah, he was very bad. I was shocked because he's like, usually I would have thought for a game like that, like you would have had one of the better referees in quotation marks there. But he was really bad for both teams. He was crap. But let's not get into refs now. The time will come, but not now. We won. There's no need for it. The yellow was ridiculous, but from the very start of that game, Meepo was so aggressive. Aggressive. He was barreling into people, and I loved it. It's not what I was expecting.
No, but I think that aggression was there from everyone. Like, it didn't look for a second that we took our foot off the gas again. I know a bit of a cliche, but like the pressing was insane. Like, if you call that a preseason friendly and people are running around with that kind of energy and hair, grand, but it was just really, really impressive display.
It was. We were relentless. That'd be the word I'd use. And then the manager alluded to himself in the post match that kind of from the sending off, kind of killed that as a contest. Like that was kind of it. I think both teams were happy to just kind of get out and without injuries. I think the amount of changes made probably echoed that. But I want to talk about Meepo. Firstly, look, I have a feeling we're going to talk about Meepo an awful lot this year.
Well, that could be a talking point every week, maybe.
Yeah, I think the whole league will be talking about Meepo an awful lot. But he said something interesting after the game, and he basically, I'm not sure who it was with. I know I should give people credit for interviews or whatever, but hey ho, here we are. He said that him and the manager are very, very similar. They're very similar characters. Now, I don't think is this the manager's fourth season with us?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that they feel they're very similar to the manager. And if he does have those same kind of characteristics as Damien Duff, I think we're onto a good thing.
Can only be a good thing, surely.
I would have thought so. And like, he mentioned, well, I think it was put to him about, you know, he'd kind of bounced around a few clubs, and but then he said nobody, he never had a relationship with a manager the way he does with our manager. So,
but that's just kind of part and parcel of what you get from the manager and his coaching staff. I think that's why a lot of players speak so highly of the manager and the coaches. I think they give you that kind of love, that kind of affection, and when you need it, they kick up the arse. I think it's a really, really strong professional environment, and you see it when players leave. Like, a lot of the times they want to come back, especially you're looking at the Harry Woods of the world, who was electric, by the way.
He really looked like...
That was Harry Wood.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. I don't know what it is. Like, Harry's not particularly quick. He's not particularly powerful, but he has that Jack Moylan thing about him.
Kind of just glides around.
Yeah, he's just able to skip past people. And he used the ball really well. I have him marked here as one of the particular performers who I was impressed with. Because I think there was not question marks over Harry, but he didn't really set the world alight when he came back last year. I think that was a combination of, I don't think he was totally match fit.
Yeah, he came, like, that's a Harry Wood with a full preseason under his belt. And I think that's a very important thing. When he does come back into the side, he is kind of getting up to speed with everyone else that has been playing football consistently for a few months. So I think it was just a bit of a difficult transition. Mind you, I think there was glimpses of what he can do, and you know the player he is. But I think if that President's Cup game is any indication, we're going to be very, very lucky. I did say to him, I spoke to him after the game on the way off the pitch, and I was kind of slagging him. I was like, any chance you want to hit the post again? Of course, he's just, every shot seems like a magnet for the post. I said it last week, I've never seen a man as unlucky.
Yeah, and for them to not bounce in, you know, so many times you see a shot hit the post, it trickles across the line. His seem to bounce out all the time. Just one other thing on Meebo, and we will try not to make it the Meebo show every week. But
I'd be happy if it's the Meebo.
So would I.
In 2 and 3 goals.
But we got a couple of glimpses kind of into his, no, like say his character. Like, he wants to play for Ireland again, which I think is a brave thing for a player to come out and say. Like, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to the league or anything like that, but it's a brave thing to say when you've ended up back at the League of Ireland, having played at the level he was at, to say that, yeah, I still want to play for Ireland. I think there'll be some people will scoff at that, but I love the fire that he seems to have. And
seems very ambitious.
Yeah, which...
Even in passing, like, he wants to do well. I think he's enjoying his football. I think that's a big thing the manager brings out of a lot of players that come back maybe a little bit disgruntled, or they didn't have that kind of love at another club. He makes them enjoy playing football.
Yeah, and it's an old cliche, but he's playing with a smile on his face, which, like, there's an awful lot to be said for it. The other thing that I really liked was, after the game, I was looking after the FAI Connect, and this year we have to include the assist on FAI Connect, which is a bone of contention with me.
Yeah,
because I did it last year and we got in trouble for it.
Yeah, got slapped in the wrist for doing it. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, duty.
Yes, well, I have a feeling the reason why they want it done now is because they've taken over the League of Ireland Fantasy Football. So it's a lot easier to already have an assist to go off. But look, that's neither here nor there. But
before people ask, just to jump in, you can't just tell Duty to chalk up an assist for someone, because in your fantasy game, they will be cross-checked with the league.
Yeah, it will be cross-checked, unfortunately. But for Meepo's goal, I had originally, I think, was it Meepo's one that Harry Wood flicked on?
Yeah.
I'd originally put Ali Coote down as the...
Because from where you were, it was
impossible. Yeah, that's what it looked like. But then after seeing the replay on Twitter, I changed it and gave Harry Wood the assist, which he was very happy with in the end. But somewhere, I don't know whether it was like FlashScore or LiveScore or one of those scoring apps, didn't give Meepo the goal. And he wasn't happy at all, which I love that. That's what you want. It'd be easy, you know, come out with the old cliches. Oh, once the ball goes in the net, you know, I don't care who scores it. Now, why not that? I want a striker who wants to score every single one, who is like nipping in to tap it in on the line because he wants the goal for it. That I want more of that. But I had to basically show him that, look, I gave you the goal. It's not like I didn't do this to you. But I love it. More of that, please. That selfish striker. I love it. And I'm not... I've met the man in my life. I'm not saying he's a selfish fella or whatever, but when it comes to that type of stuff, that's the attitude you'd want, surely.
Yeah, I think that all the kind of characteristics you want, the intensity, ambition, fire, like all the buzzwords you can think of, I think that's what you want in your striker.
Yeah, and I have a sneaking suspicion that there might be a bit of a bromance forming between him and Sean Boyd. Because I asked Boydy to do the post-match interview with me, and Boydy really wanted to get Meepo on to do it with him. So I think there could be something forming there. But that is the scary potential there with the two of them, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's that typical football manager strike partnership, one really tall, one really fast, isn't it?
Well, if it's good enough for that, it's good enough for me.
I think it's people can make jokes, people can laugh. I think it is a scary thought, because there's an awful lot they can do. They're both extremely talented players, so having both of them firing early, I think, is massive.
Yeah, Boydie's build-up was brilliant. He was really good. It was back to goal.
The build-up for the way the ball was moved, like, it was just, it was quick, it was snappy, it was dynamic. Like, it was just a really, really strong performance. I don't think I've seen us maybe move the ball as quick or have players moving up the pitch as quick. Like, the transition from defence into attack was incredible. I think Cam just, at one stage, I don't know if he was bored or not, but he just kept sitting people on their arse for fun.
Yeah, that poor centre-forward for Trotty got stuck on his arse twice. Once by a bit of skill and once by just pure chest.
The amount of times Cam went up to tackle someone and you just hear Doody shout, "Yeah, hit the gym!"
It was true. He didn't let anyone near him. Cam's another one I have circled here, as I thought he was particularly...
Would you brilliant. Stop circling the same people I'm circling?
But look, it could be anyone. It's defensively, we were really solid.
Proper good team performance, I think. I think a lot of people really enjoyed Kerr and Mark Coyle in midfield.
Well, Ben, the amount of people that have got on just to say Bald is best.
I mean, and
who am I to argue?
Who are you to argue?
But, and this is another point that we kind of mentioned it in the preview pod for the President's Cup game. The substitutions we were able to make.
Ah, it's outrageous, isn't it?
Like, it's the difference, and again, it's not to be disrespectful to anyone playing last year or anything like that, but like, there's a real kind of, like, the players that came off the bench for us on Friday gone: Ellis Chapman, JJ Looney, Evan Caffrey, Ryan O'Kane, and Ray Tulloch.
They'd get into a lot of starting 11s, every single one of them.
Yeah, and then the ones who didn't get to come on, obviously Larkin Healy as the sub goalkeeper, but John Martin, Lewis Temple, and young James Roach, who I know is very highly thought of, that's not a bad bench. And that, again, that doesn't even include John O'Sullivan, Tyreek, and am I missing somebody else that wasn't kitted out, maybe carrying a knock? I'm not sure, but ridiculous depth.
Last season we spoke very highly of the squad, and as we should have, they're league champions, but we said at some stage it's kind of an embarrassment to Riches because of the depth we had, and now you're comparing that to the people that came on, as you just mentioned. That's, again, embarrassment to Riches, I think.
I do.
It is incredible to have that kind of depth in the squad.
And you're going to need every bit of it. Hopefully with a cup run, hopefully with a European run. You're going to need, and we said it last week as well, about players playing their part, that a player can just have one moment that sets you off for the whole season. I'll always go back to like Dean Williams, who would have got very little credit last year, his role in the goal away to Pats. If he doesn't pop up with, albeit a simple bit of football, but if he doesn't pop up with that, that don't flick, score, and yeah, the whole outcome of that game is different.
That little flick gets us 3 points.
Yeah. I do have a serious question for a change to ask you, Ben.
Okay.
Our number 77, Rayhan Tulloch, of course.
Yes.
Just has Ray 77 on his jersey. Are we, we mentioned the kit man already. Are they saving on letters, or what's going on there, would you say?
It's like when your ma brings you to Lifestyle to get your jersey done. You want the real long name. Like, no, get him.
Yeah.
Three letters on that one. I don't know. I back it. I kind of like it. I think it's unique. Kind of like a Dele Alli. Does he not have Dele on his jersey?
Oh, yeah, but Dele Alli's playing shy compared to Ray Tulloch.
That's very true, but...
Where's Dele Alli now, huh? Dust.
Fair. But now I back Ray 77 with the long sleeves. Now, if he start rocking the short sleeves and the gloves again, there'd be a word.
Yeah, long sleeve jerseys. That's one for the kit nerds. Some people are very, very impressed.
I love a long sleeve jersey.
And as was pointed out, I don't remember who it was pointed it out, but I don't know whether O'Neill's are in the habit of making long sleeve jerseys, but the design on the long sleeve jersey, the sleeve obviously has that shattered pattern on it, but it just doesn't go down past the elbow. So I don't know whether they just weren't willing to finish the design out or what the story was there, but yeah. No, I like it. Long sleeve jersey, no issue with that. Wear all the gloves you want if you're wearing a long sleeve jersey.
Or I'm a fan of just, I know this is going to sound a bit silly, but long sleeve and then just pull the sleeves up ever so slightly.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, sorry, Judy, you wear black boots and you know, don't believe in cutting your socks and footballing purist.
I'm not footballing purist, but why the fuck would you be... Oh, goodness.
Don't sigh deeply at me.
That other thing that you said, well, I actually said, I can guarantee you're going to bring it up at some stage to try and annoy me. I have relaxed a little bit on that. Come here, we may go with that now.
You go.
Since
you
I mentioned it. Right.
You take it away.
I will be honest. Singing an opposition player's name, albeit that, yeah, he was a great servant. He gave us some great moments. I'm not a fan of it during the game. Shane Farrell, obviously, we're talking about. As he was going off, yeah, the applause, I don't know. I was annoyed about this on Friday. I really was.
You were very riled up.
Yeah. Now, having had time to think, there's plenty worse things going on in the world for me to be annoyed about. But it wouldn't be for me personally. It's like this whole business of players not celebrating against their old club.
You've scored a goal.
Now look.
Put your hands up. Take your hands down. Run around.
Like, I'd use Matty Smith as an example because I can see him popping up against us, to be honest. Like, if he start running over and bleeding shush in the Riverside and stuff, I'd be kind of going, here, like, that's a bit harsh.
We're just giving it a generic yes.
Yeah, go off and celebrate, of course. You don't play here anymore, so, like, you don't owe anyone anything.
You say that, but then it comes back to, as you said, he might pop up and then next week on the pod. I can't believe he did that.
No, you won't get that from me. We might get some disgruntled people on Instagram, whatever, but no, not for me. It's just, it is what it is. One other thing from Friday that I really, really enjoyed, and if we were allowed to give players a Richie rankings, Sean Boyd would definitely be my Richie Baker for his bidding adieu of the draw the goalkeeper when he got sent off. Did you see that?
Very enjoyable.
I didn't see it in real time. I only seen it back. I actually think did the club account put it on TikTok, maybe?
Yes, there is a TikTok. With bye-bye, Miss American Pie audio. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I've got a lot of time for that. Because
you need a bit of shithousing sometimes.
Yeah, but that keeper had been mouthing off as well because he got into it at half time, going into the tunnel.
That's why.
Because why?
Because he's a mouth.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah, I don't know what happened at half time, but he got into it with a few people mouthing coming towards the tunnel. So
arguing with everyone on the way in. But I'm not being funny. How brainless is that from the keeper?
Ah, so dumb.
Just let it go in.
But he's suspended now.
But that's what I mean. Like, is he not? How many is it for a straight red? It's just an automatic one.
I don't know. The only reference point I had to go off, and I only looked this up on Friday because Stewie Byrne, the great Stewie Byrne, was obviously on co-coms for the game. And I was up in the gantry at the time trying to get some heat because it was Baltic in Talcott on Friday. And he collared me and asked me, is he suspended now for the first league game? So I went, had a little look. The only kind of example of it was one of these bleeding nobodies that played for Dundalk in 2021, played about 10 games and then fecked off to wherever obscure league he signed from originally. But he got sent off in the President's Cup and he ended up serving a 2-game ban in the league. So I don't know whether that was the nature of the red, whether it was because it was a tackle or what, but you do serve a suspension in the league for it. So like all totally different levels of stupidity there. Just let him skip by you. 3-0. Yeah, it might be 3-0, but at least I'm going to start next week. Big dope. And now I'd be worried about Drogheda. Jack Brady starting in goal. Not for me. Wouldn't fill me with confidence. But speaking of Drogheda, Ben, we did say we were going to give our preseason predictions.
This man's a seasoned podcast host.
Where we ultimately
shoot ourselves spoof. Make ourselves look like idiots.
Yes, yes. We spoof like we've never spoofed before. So we're going to do our league table, our cup winner prediction, our top goal scorer prediction, who we think will be the flop of the season, and who has been the best non-Shelbourne signing. So I think they're all fair.
I just want to point out the best non-Shelbourne signing is ridiculous. I don't care about other clubs, and I don't care who they signed.
Neither do I, but it's for a little bit of variety, Ben. That's all it's for. So relax. You're turning into me, spending too much time with me.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Right, so we'll start in the basement. Give me your bottom team and your playoff team.
Cork and then Drogheda.
Cork for the playoff and Drogheda to be relegated, or the other way around?
Other way around, I'm going 10-9, so Cork and Drogheda in the playoff.
Ah, this is a good start.
Why?
I have the same, but the opposite way around. So I have Drogheda rock bottom and Cork in the playoff. I'd be worried about Drogheda. They looked fairly shy.
They looked ran off their feet after 15 minutes. They didn't look like they were going to do anything particularly good. And they also didn't have that kind of grit in their teeth that they've had before, where they batter you, they bring you down to play their game. It just didn't look like they were out there chasing shadows.
Yeah, no, I know. Look, loads of people are saying, "Oh, Drogheda could push on now; they're going full time and blah blah blah." Oh, I think being part time suited in a weird way that us against them siege mentality stuff. I think it suited them. I'd be worried for them. I couldn't give a shite if Drogheda get relegated or not. I would be disappointed for Kev Doherty if it didn't happen, but
yeah, that's pretty much the only saving grace there.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if I had a choice, I'd rather Cork got relegated.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever enjoyed a team get relegated as much as I did Cork the season before last.
Cork meltdown is just always hilarious.
Yeah, there's just always something going on.
They're just so unlikable for some reason.
They are unlikable. But Ben, when your owner is getting photos like with a jersey on and holding the scarf over his head, like, for I couldn't see any particular reason why I just seen the photo on Twitter earlier and went, Jesus, that's, don't know about that. They're having to dish out discounts, like coupons for league games, because obviously the L tickets aren't shifting too well. So, God, I really don't like Cork. Well, I like a certain part of Cork, and I will get to that a little bit later on. But yeah, they're my bottom two. Draw at the bottom, Cork in the playoff, and you're the opposite, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Give me your top three. So your European qualifier, start the league winner, then give me second and third.
Shells, Pats, Rovers.
Fantastic.
Why, what's yours?
Just so we don't have the exact same.
But do we have the exact same?
No, we have the same three. Okay. I actually have Rovers top of the pile.
Well, interesting.
The only reason is I tipped Rovers last year as well, and look what happened. So that's my reasoning behind that. So I have Rovers to win it, ourselves second, and Pats third. Derry narrowly in fourth. I just wouldn't be sold on...
I also have Derry in fourth, if that helps.
Yeah, I'd say that everyone's going to have that as their top four. Like,
yeah. It's. I think a lot of people will have it interchangeable. Or just...
Yeah, the only thing with Pats is...
To be honest, for my top, I didn't actually... I know it's a bit silly to not consider Rovers because they're a top side, but I kind of... They're interchangeable for me all day between ourselves and Pats, I thought.
And yeah.
I written down, I actually do have Pats ahead of us, but I'm going to put...
Pats are another one, and I'm very conscious of being clipped up here and, you know, sound bites and all that good stuff, but it's very easy to win the amount of games the Pats won when nobody's paying you any attention. Like last year, Pats were just not being talked about by anybody. So it is easy to go under the radar and just win games because nobody's... It's no pressure on you, really. So I just think when the spotlight is on, will the pressure tell a little bit more? Possibly. They have signed well. They signed very early, which I think is important. And look, Stephen Kenny, we've talked about him on here a few times, but the proof's in the pudding, really, with like league wins and European performances and that. So they will. I do think Pats will be there or thereabouts, along with ourselves and Rovers. So give me your kind of your order outside of that. So we've obviously got Rovers, Shells, Pats in some kind of way as the top three.
Yeah.
Derry in fourth.
The Derry in fourth. Then I had Galway.
Right.
Galway, Bowes in sixth. Waterford in seventh and Sligo in eighth.
I have nearly the same, except that Bowes and Galway swapped.
Well, Bowes fifth, Galway sixth.
Yeah, pains me to say, but I think Bowes signed quite well.
They did. They did a good bit of business. I just think Galway in Galway is where they will pick up points. They're horrible to play there.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, will that wear off? That kind of... You know, that being a load of bastards, like, will people just know how to get around it this time around? And he mentioned himself, Caulfield did, that they'd have to be better going forward this year. So if you open up at all out of that kind of rigid, hard-to-play-against mode, you know, you could be getting turned over a lot easier. But just on balls, I think their start is going to be important.
Yeah, I think games are key.
Yeah, if they start slowly, the crowd will turn.
It's a very toxic place.
Yeah, it can get that way very quickly.
Yeah, when things aren't going their way, like it's... I think people forget how bad it was at the end of last season because they've done good business in this transfer window. Then people are like, oh yeah, we're going to be great now. I don't know. It's the start is important because that place can turn very quickly.
Very quickly indeed. Your cup winners, Ben?
I had Pats.
Incorrect. Well, the Reds for the cup.
The Reds for the cup.
Yeah. If I offered you now second place finish in the league and a cup win, would you take
it? Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Very interesting. I definitely would. I just desperately want to win the cup.
To be fair, it was kind of between I was going to give either us the league and Pats the cup or vice versa. So
you're fancying Pats big time?
I think they've signed well. They had a good run of form at the end of last season. I think they've only strengthened. But I think, look, as you said, you can never ride off Rovers.
No, definitely not. Your top scorer, Ben?
Sean Boyd.
This is fucking stupid.
Why?
Like, this is all a waste of time, really, isn't it? It's just filler. This is guff, this stuff. There's no point. 10 teams in the league. Of course that's going to be the top four. Of course the other two are going to be the bottom two. Man, what a fucking mammoth waste of time this was. But anyway, I'm really selling this to the listeners, haven't I?
Yeah.
Well, they're far enough in by this stage.
Did you have Sean Boyd as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did. Obviously, that lad, Moussey, that ball sign, I think, similar to me, but I think if he gets to any kind of level that he was at previously, forget about it. All bets could be off. But look, it's kind of anyone's. Like it's the most obvious award, and it can be the most kind of. You can get a shock. Like if you're on penalties and you're knocking a hat trick in the season, like you're getting very, very close to being. You're getting very, very close to being the...
Like thereabouts.
Yeah, like it doesn't take much, do you know? So, but no, I did go Boydie.
Brilliant.
Yeah. This is riveting stuff, isn't it?
You have to back the big man.
This is where it might get better. Your flop of the season.
Connor Parsons.
Straight in. What makes you think that?
I don't know. I feel like, to be fair to them, Shelbyville, they have signed relatively well. I just didn't really understand that signing. I know it's probably a replacement for a Danny Grant, but it's a knockoff. Danny Grant. Like, he's a good player, but I don't know. He left, was it Dagenham and Redbridge for a week, and then back in the league. I don't know, it was a bit weird to me. I'd say he's a nice fella, but I just can't see him really kicking on there. I could be wrong, but if all else fails, at least he'll fit in around that place.
Very true. I have two. You mentioned one there. Danny Grant is one for me.
Yeah, he was one that was up there for me. It was between the two lads, the swap for each other.
And I should stress, with the likes of a Connor Parsons and a Danny Grant, I also wouldn't be surprised if they're in the running for player of the year. That's the whole idea of a flop. So
they're either going to light the league on fire. Or
so don't come at us saying, oh, you said he'd be shy. They'll be feast or famine. They'll be one or the other. My other one, who I don't know whether you could say it's a flop if he is shy, but Connor Keeley. I don't see it. I know he signed for a relegation team, but
he kind of looked up maybe the flaws in what he can do and what he can bring as a player are probably highlighted when he made the move to Pats. He looked very good for Drogheda, but I think maybe that's that system, the way they play, and I think that just kind of suited him.
Maybe that's the level. Right. Shrewd signing, Ben. Non-Shells related. What one did you look at and go, yeah, that's a good little sign in that?
Ed McGinty.
Yeah, fair. Second best goalkeeper in the... Well, I think third best goalkeeper in the league, but...
Yeah, I'd probably go third. I just think he's probably a good sign in a position that Rovers... I think at some stages, especially early stages last season, you think they definitely needed to look out. I think Paul's really came into himself, though, as the season went on. I think he is a good keeper, but I think he was always kind of a number two. But I think McGinty will probably offer them a little bit more. So I think here, I don't really give a shit about any other team or their signings. But if I had to pick, that's my pick.
Mine is Andy Boyle. For Watford, I think for what he'll give you, just, again, old cliche stuff, but just being around the place, really experienced head, by all accounts, a really good fella. And also, he'll be very keen to, like, put all that shite behind him from the last couple of years, dealing in that zoo up in Dundalk. So, now he's one I seen go to Watford, and I kind of said, yeah, that's it. That's a good little sign on for where Watford are at.
Can't believe I'll never get to hear ding dong for substitution again.
Yeah, I know. What will we do with ourselves?
I might just get out my phone and play it in other grounds.
Right. Ben, I don't know where this doppelganger stuff came from, but I do know that last week I wrote down doppelgangers for next week. So I stuck it out in the question box.
Did we get any in?
Can you tell me where it came from? Like, why? I can't remember why we started with doppelgangers.
Someone said, sent something in about Conor Kearns looking like a bloke.
That was it. Well, the man himself, Conor Kearns.
That unbelievable, by the way.
I will definitely attach this to the pod post. It's just a random person from an office in America. I think it was America, he said, wasn't it? I think it's a friend of Connor's works over there, and this lad works obviously in the same office. It's
uncanny. Just Connor Kearns in an office.
It's ridiculous. It's Connor Kearns in a shirt and tie. Which, in fairness to Connor, he hasn't been shy of the suit and tie with all his award nominations in the last little while.
What happens when you're the best keeper in the league?
Well, very true. Fair. We got a few in. Now, some of these, I'm not naming the names of people who sent them in because I don't particularly want World War III to start among the squad.
Yeah, I think someone I saw a shout was Sean Boyd and Eminem. Like, yeah, just he has a bit of blonde in his hair. He's not down.
Somebody actually on Instagram said that he looks like Harry Wood from a distance. I'm not having that at all.
A little bit. Too tall, I'd imagine.
Right, so this first one, Rory Kirk, who was obviously the assistant manager of the women's team. Chris Wood.
Yeah. You can see it.
As soon as I read it, I went, oh, that's a good one. That is actually a good one.
It's one that you wouldn't really think of because...
No,
it's
a bit left field. Now, I will say the rest of these are complete shy, right? They're not even, I don't think half these people knew what doppelganger meant, but somebody said Cam Ledwidge and Canelo Alvarez. Now, that's lazy. That's just, you've gone with somebody with red hair that enjoys boxing. Like, it's like going with the Stone Cold Steve Austin for Mark Hoyle. It's just lazy.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything. Somebody, they sent me the exact photo, so again I can put the photo up. A young Tyreek Wilson is the image of John Stones. Now,
Jesus,
the photo, I can see where they're coming from, but again, I will put all these along with the post so you can see just how shite they all actually are. Somebody else said Joey O'Brien, and do you know the old fullback that played for Brighton, Bruno?
He's
basically just bald.
Oh, you picked the eye bald person.
Yeah, that seems to be the the common one everyone's gone with. The best one I've seen, and I had never heard it before, but it is a very, very good one, is the famous Tosh is the image of Eddie Jordan. You know Eddie Jordan, I know he's involved in the Formula One for years. Google him there, Ben, and he'll pop up straight away. And he does look eerie,
oh
like
my God.
Yeah, he does look eerily like Tosh. It's like a slightly more, I don't know, how can I phrase this? I'm not going down that road. there's no polite word I can come up with there. But they're all terrible shouts for all of you that sent them in, except I'll take Rory Kirk and I'll take the Tosh one. Other than that, bad stuff. Bad stuff. Pretty quiet other than that on Instagram this week. We did get updates, Ben, from John Fraser. We asked a question about Dan Carr.
Yes.
He has since left Sevenoaks, and he's now playing for Sheppey United in the Isthmian League South East Division. And he has scored 3 times this season. So, not bad. There's a few others he mentioned that we knew about. Cabral, of course, playing for... here we go. Neuchâtel Xamax, I believe they're called. The Reds played against them in Europe years back. But yeah, that's where Cabral is playing. And Adam Thomas was the other one we mentioned, Ben.
Yes, the man who took your photo.
He's playing for an amateur team called the Eastern Suburbs in New Zealand.
That's a mad team name, fair enough.
That's a fall from grace. Do you say former Olympian? Or if you've been in the Olympics, are you always an Olympian?
Yeah, if you're in the Olympics, you're an Olympian.
Nobody really cares anyway. Let's see, what else did we get on Instagram? A lot of positive stuff. Loads of people saying how good Tolka looks. I'd have to echo that. It does look great. As was said at the fans forum and that, it'll take time. There's still those kind of mad queues behind, just at the Drumcondra end. I know they're trying to work on stuff to fix that, but definitely a better experience in Tolka, I would have said. Loads of praise for Meepo. Kyle was on to say thanks very much for Friday. Ben, Kyle is a young podcast listener. I do try to keep that in mind when it comes to my language and stuff like that, but I had a good chat with Kyle on Friday, so his dad seems happy enough for him to listen, so who are we to stop? Jordan O'Reilly just talking about how exciting the Meepo Boyle partnership is, and he said, this is the treble year, lads, we're winning it all. I mean, it's hard to argue, really, isn't it?
Very hard to argue. What's your shout?
The voice of reason.
Voice of reason. That's the one. I just wanted you to say I knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, he is the voice of reason. I did say I'd mention as well, we had Kieran Harkins in Tolka on Friday. The manager met Kieran in Temple Street over the Christmas when we went in for the visit. He's an inspirational character. Talk about strong, and it would put anyone to shame, but he was a special guest for us on Friday. Kieran was. He had his aunt and his mum with him and his mate Josh. Loads of football talk. They are from Cork. This is what I was talking about at the start of the pod. But Kieran left with a Science Shells jersey. Josh left with a scarf. So we have converted at least 4 people in Cork, Ben, into red. So that's not bad. Not bad work for the off season, is it really?
It's pretty good. At least you gave them a decent team to support. Their tour guide on the night was very good, I thought.
Oh God. Yeah, I did my best. It's not my forte, but we had a bit of laugh. We got to show them. Well, I got to show them around. They got to see Johnny's Room, which they were fascinated with. Everyone always seems to be fascinated with Johnny's Room. They got loads of photos taken with the manager. They seemed to have a really good night. So, all in all, they got to see a couple of goals. They got to meet the president, and they got to meet Damien Duff. So, not a bad night overall for them, I wouldn't have said. Ben, Richie Rankin's time. Before we go, you didn't have any at the start of the pod. Do you have some now?
Yes.
Right. Give me your Richie Baker first.
I don't know if this is a bit cheap, because I think it's been given before, but Kieran Dine.
Fuck off.
Get a life. There's no way we started already. It's literally the first week of the year. Yeah, did I rob yours?
I'm screenshotting this so you can see now. Here we go. I'll send it to you, yeah, because I don't... no, you're definitely not going to rob me, Richie Winter, so I'll send it to you now. But, yeah, explain to the people, Ben, why Kieran Dine is your Richie Baker.
I mean, the man just does incredible work. Graphics-wise, he's the best in the business. He's an absolute incredible asset for the club, for us to have. He is brilliant, and I think he put up on his own socials. A lot of people would have seen the meeting room in Talca was definitely in need of a massive, massive facelift. And the graphics done by himself, the wrap that was done designed by him, it's just amazing. It's chalk and cheese the way that room looks. Dude, you'd be very familiar with it just from press conferences and media and such in there. It's just, it's a special, special place. And it has that feel to it now.
It looks unbelievable. It feels like part of a real stadium, not like a waste ground in a stadium, which I know it had become for a while. It had been getting more use and stuff in the last couple of years, but it just transforms the whole room. If anyone ever can, try and get a glimpse at it, do, because it just looks amazing. It looks professional. Like, it's somewhere you're not ashamed to bring journalists.
I don't know if you had the same experience walking in. You walk in, you kind of... It's a very emotional walk in, because, like, you see everything. You see memories. A lot of things flood back. Like, it's just... It feels important. It's, again, we spoke about it a lot. It's a simple change for Talca, a simple addition, but it's one that's massive.
Yeah, like, there's quotes on the wall. The manager's quote about Talca being a special place, the Riverside being the best stand in the country. All the honours are up on the wall. It's just, like, if you're a new sign and walking into that, you're just instantly surrounded by what it's all about, I would have said. So it is amazing. Twinny won't want any credit for it, because that's not why he does stuff, but he's unbelievable at what he does, and he deserves every last bit of credit that anyone can give him.
Deserves all the credit. The best in the business. Absolutely lost without him.
Correct. My Richie Winter, Ben, he's got this before. Something tells me it won't be the last time this season he gets it either. But
it's Stephen Kenny again.
No, it's not Stephen Kenny. No. Not yet. It's Johnny Ward.
I can't say I'm shocked.
The LOI Central had their live show on Sunday. They did a bit of a podcast on the back of it, which I listened to today. It's one of the few League of Ireland podcasts I do listen to, because I don't think the lads are goons. Most of the other League of Ireland podcasts are surrounded by goons. But he basically said that...
Yes, sir, no.
After shouting on for 20 minutes about league predictions, Ben, I think we're slowly falling into that category.
See, this is why we just stick to Shelburne every week.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody cares about
the only thing that's important. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Johnny Ward is my Richie Winter, because he basically said that we fluked our way to the league last year. He basically said that.
I really hate that. I get irrationally angry over people saying that.
Yeah, he basically said that, like, we fell off a cliff, and, like, you know, after Jarvis left and we stumbled our way to a league title and all this type of mad talk.
I'm not being funny, but if you're the best team in the country across 36 games, how did you fluke your way?
Shy teams can win cups. Shy teams can, you can get a great draw, rub it a grain, grand, you can win a cup. The
just
best
happens.
Team always wins the league, and the worst team always finishes bottom. That's the whole point of a league table. So, yeah, I'm not happy with that. There's no such thing as an undeserving league win. Ben, who's your Richie Winter?
I'd really like to pile onto yours, because I'm very irrationally angry, but I do have one, and it's an unfortunate one. It's one I wouldn't like to give. And usually he'd be in contention for a Richie Baker, but it has to be Declan Drake.
Oh, Lord.
I watched back the highlights. I watched back the game itself. And it's just for one moment, because he, again, an absolute professional, probably one of the best in the business, duty. I think you've been up there with him, have you?
Yep, I have.
So you can attest
to
that.
It was all my pleasure, yeah.
But when the red card is shown and Boydie does his wave, he says, bit unsportsmanlike.
No.
Don't point it out, just let it happen.
Jesus. Unsportsmanlike. Well, then the big dope shouldn't have been going around giving it loads for the whole first half to everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think another hidden Richie Baker is Sean Boyd's auntie. I think is who he said did his hair.
Is the hairdresser, correct? Yeah.
Yes. That's another, if you didn't have one, or I know you did, but I think Sean Boyd's auntie deserves a bit of credit, because as the manager said, if you're going to come in with hair like that, you better back it up, and he did. I like his hair as well.
So do I.
I think it's suits him.
Yeah, I'm not having, he said a few of the lads were saying he's having a bit of a midlife crisis. He's 26. If he's having a midlife crisis, the fuck am I having?
Yeah, I'm the same age. So when I heard midlife crisis, I was like, oh God.
Yeah, you're an old man, Ben. Right.
Getting there.
We haven't even talked about this coming Friday's game, Ben, but we're coming up on the hour. What I will ask you for is, how do you see the game going? I'm not asking for score predictions, but just in general, what type of game are we in for?
I think it's an unknown game. We haven't played this makeup of Derry City, new manager. Obviously, that'll come with a bounce. I spoke to, I had the chance to speak to Lawrence, the media officer for Derry, at the media officer workshop and the media workshop, and he just said how different it was, and it was more strict. The players are in there, so you wouldn't know what you're in for, but I do think, only based on our performance from the Drogheda game, I think we'll be really, really good. I think it'll be a close game. I think we'll edge it 2-1.
I'm going to go nil all.
Ah, of course you will, because you're boring.
I see Ty, I see KG.
I see boring from you.
Look, it's late at night. I'm tired. We've nearly done an hour.
An excuse to be bored.
Well, Ben, if I wasn't talking to you now, I'd probably be in bed. So that's how boring I am.
29, by the way.
Yeah, you'll be 31 eventually as well.
A strict 9 p.m. bedtime. Yeah.
Yeah, with a glass of milk and a wagon wheel.
Oh, I know someone who's partial to that.
Jesus, yeah. He's partial to steel runners as well. But anyway, Ben, as always, thank you very, very much for giving up your Tuesday. And my apologies for making you wait. I did delay it a bit tonight, so sorry about that.
Look, it's okay. We can't all be as professional as me.
All right, I will see you on Friday. We will hopefully see all of you on Friday. Ben, say the line.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.